Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Hi, everybody. It's Victoria Gaither, television host and journalist of At Home with Victoria. Michael, it has been 2 weeks since I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to be on the air with you. I've been so excited about tonight's show.
Well, welcome back home, honey. It's been lonely here without you, but we've done some we've held down the fort pretty well. So now, again, remind me, you're sitting in a back alley right now. Is this true?
Yes,
in a car?
Yes. So, guys, I am actually sort of between Maryland and Virginia. I had to pull over. I'm on my cell phone, so I'm crossing my fingers that my cell phone doesn't die out. So in the event that it does, at least you guys know why, and Michael's going to continue the show. But so I decided to pull over in this alley, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a really quiet place, and I'm looking at trash cans and, you know, not a great sight. And then these two guys started yelling and cursing at each other out the window, and I thought, maybe this isn't a good spot. But it's too late because I can't move and, you know, drive and talk on the cell phone at the same time. But so here's the deal, because everybody's been trying to figure out, Michael, where has Victoria been? And you guys know if something serious happened to me, of course I would tell you. The first week I was out, I was in D.C. because, Michael, remember – you talked about it on the air, the speaking engagement that I had in Washington for the OMG Fashion Show, which went very well at Master's Child Church. And then the following week, I ended up getting some cold or some type of virus. And if you can believe it or not, I didn't have a voice, and I couldn't talk. So that's sort of where I have been.
Well, I'm glad you're well, and I'm glad you're back, honey. And I'm really, really happy that you came back for this fantastic show. Lee Philip Bell and William J. Bell, basically, I would say, created CBS Daytime with The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful, with Michael Maloney, who actually wrote the autobiography, The Young and Restless Life of William J. Bell. Victoria, it's a fantastic read. I highly recommend it. Go to Amazon.com William J. Bell. You can go ahead and Google it, too. But just the stunning era of early television is fantastic. Plus, we're going to have Doug Davidson, one of the first heartthrobs, Paul Williams on The Young and the Restless, going to be joining us a little bit later, so I'm really, really excited.
And definitely Doug Davidson, just a veteran actor. And, you know, it's interesting because as I was thinking about tonight's show, you know, you and I always have a different twist on things, which is I think it's why it's so great that we work well together. I'm always thinking sort of historical and journalist point of view more so, and you're thinking more entertainment. But I was thinking today about Young and the Restless and Bold, The Bold and the Beautiful. And I remember Young and the Restless because when I was a kid, my grandmother, who would babysit me during the day, that was one of her favorite soap operas that she would watch. And I remember having an internal clock as a kid that as soon as the Young and the Restless went off of television, it was always time for me to have my afternoon snack. So I was thinking about that today. When you hear that music to the Young and the Restless, it kind of brought back memories for me. But you're right. I mean, you know, William Bell and Lee Philip Bell, they basically built CBS. And it's great to see, and we're going to talk to them about that, how both of those soaps are still surviving today. Because was it a year ago or a couple of years ago, some of the soaps on other networks got yanked off the air for other daytime programming. So, you know, the best always remains, right, Michael?
No, absolutely. I mean, they're the ones that made the cornerstone. And I think, actually, in their original time slot at 1:30, here starting on the East Coast. But I got some new music, too, some brand-new music from Drew Stevens. We're going to start off the hour. When we get back, Lee Philip Bell and Michael Maloney are going to join us. But until then, this is Drew Stevens with Stay With Me. Don't go anywhere.
Nothing matters.
Ravens, Stay With Me, which is, I think, a line that has been uttered on The Young and the Restless and The Bold and Beautiful a few hundred times, I will say. Joining us now is, absolutely, is Lee Philip Bell and Michael Maloney. Welcome to At Home with Victoria.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. What do you think of the song, Lee?
It's great.
Yeah, I know Bill was a big fan of song.
Yes, he was.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and start off the thing. Lee, I read the book. Michael, I read the book. And you know what? I was really expecting something different. I was expecting something salacious and steamy. And what I got was a very detailed history of American television. It was so well written. I tore right through it. Lee, I'd like to go to you first. And may I just tip my hat to you, because really you are the first lady of live television that
No.
Well, certainly, but go ahead.
He really did most of it, and I just helped him.
Oh, I understand. I hate to use the word honey, but it's back in WBBM. The Lee Philip Bell Show was top back then, and I don't know how many hours of live television you logged in, doing roughly, I think, 15 hours a day, I read something.
Well, I don't think it was that long, I hope.
How was it writing with Michael?
Oh, he did all the writing of the book.
Right.
And he's great.
Victoria?
Yeah, Lee, you're
a big fan of Young and the Restless.
Yes, I am. But Lee, I wanted to ask you about, from a woman's perspective, being there in Hollywood and in the television industry, when you started up until this point right now, any kind of thing that sticks out in your mind that you see for women that has really changed? I mean, are there more women writers? Are there more women producers in the industry?
There are a lot of women on television now, and I think the number will increase. They're doing great.
Right. Let's go to The Young and the Rest. It debuted in 1973, and still on the air today, which is a fantastic track, track history and everything. How did you and Bill first come up with the idea for Y&R?
Well, he really did most of it for Y&R.
Right.
No, we didn't have the idea. That was somebody else's show. Bill wrote it, but somebody else.
Bill was at such a point in his career when he was given, and Lee were given, the deal to do The Young and the Restless. He was so established that they were able to sell it without even having a Bible for the show. And then once the deal for the show was sold, that's when Bill and Lee went to the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel and started writing out the characters and the storyline.
On napkins.
No, Bill has his hand on everything, from The Guiding Light, As the World Turns, Another World, and then the As the World Turns spinoff, Our Private World. So, I mean, he's been writing. Absolutely. Let's talk about his advertising career, because I found that very, very interesting, to go from wanting to be a doctor and then going directly into advertising. That happened all before he started to write with Erna?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It did. That was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he was interested in just doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got out of college and he looked for work to be done, and he did it.
Yeah, now, I understand, Victoria, this is what I found very interesting, too, is that mostly The Young and the Restless was certainly written in Chicago and shipped out to L.A. How did you do that without technology the way
that
it is today?
That is interesting.
It wasn't easy. No, he wrote his scripts, and when the strike hit, he wrote them and mailed them, I think. I don't remember.
Funny.
Yeah.
I think, you know, back then the mail service was so was such that you could put something in the mail and it wouldn't take like a week or so to get someplace. You could send something and it would actually get there pretty
delivery.
Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like it is now where you you put something in the mail and sometimes you're not even sure
if it will arrive.
Fingers crossed. Actually going to get there. Michael, you know, something I wanted to ask you as a author and also as a writer, I can imagine for you it was a big deal for you, probably, I'm assuming, to sit down with Lee Phillips Bell and to write this, you know, this life story about William. And how did that whole thing come about that you did that?
Well, you know, I've been a journalist for about 20 years covering the world of soap operas. And prior to that, you know, people have asked me, when did my research for the book begin? And it actually began probably 20 years ago or 25. I worked as a page at CBS, and one of my duties there was to answer the phones on the set of The Young and the Restless and take messages for people while they were taping. And I slowly worked my way up, and so I knew Bill. I worked for him and Lee at The Bold and the Beautiful. And and so I kind of I hit the ground running when it came time to do the book, because I had been doing research for many, many years.
And you knew us very well.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to mention too that.
And proud and happy to know you both.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to mention Writes for Soaps in Depth. And, Michael, I actually, a good friend of mine, Richard Sims, I believe, works with you closely.
Yes, he's our executive editor, and he's terrific.
He speaks very, very highly of you, but I want to go back to Lee.
Maybe I should ask for a raise. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. We'll try work it out.
No. Just a little humor. A little dry humor.
Lee, in your life on live television, you've interviewed many, many lovely people, Lucille Ball, Nancy Reagan, and there's a part in the book where you went ahead and actually were discussing some of your more difficult interviews, really. You said celebrities were the hardest ones to interview. Care to elaborate on that?
Oh, well, they probably talked all the time about the shows that they were on or they did or whatever. So they were difficult because they didn't want us to speak very much.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them didn't talk very much.
Yeah.
So it was hard to interview them.
Absolutely. How was Nancy Reagan's interview? I'm curious to hear about that.
She was wonderful. She was very nice. Until the third time I talked to her, my producer insisted that I ask her about her daughter and, I don't know, of the young man she was dating. And I guess they were having an affair, and I didn't want to do it, and I said I didn't want to do it, and he said, you got to, and I said, I don't want to, and he said, you got to. So I asked her about her daughter and this young man, whoever he was, and she said, I don't talk about that. And then she just changed the subject.
Yeah.
So then we were finished with it.
Well, that's a nice segue, too. Another thing I just want to mention quickly before I get back to Victoria, but Helen Gurley Brown, a lady that I've admired for years, wrote the loveliest message. Her passing on Tuesday was very, very sad, but she writes, Dear Lee, you are the most impressive lady, and so is your show. Someone like me does dozens of shows in a year, so I consider myself an old pro at deciding which ones are really something and which ones are just average. Yours is a super really something, and I'm honored that you let me be with you. I hope to see you again. I think that is the most charming
wonderful.
Thing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's marvelous.
Charming, charming. Did you enjoy Helen?
Did I enjoy?
Helen Gurley?
Oh, yes, very much. Of course, she was wonderful.
Iconic. Michael, what's your take on everything? I mean, I want to go ahead and just make mention real quickly, too, that I read someplace, too, that the Young and the Restless got a new head writer. Jill Farren Phelps was named executive producer of the Young and the Restless.
Yeah, Jill is actually the executive producer, and the new head writer is Josh Griffith, who had written for the show before, and he's written for other shows.
Right. I want to go back to Lee for a second. Lee, talk about your kids, both Bill Jr., Brad, and Laura Lee. Laura Lee was Cricket for years and years and years. Bill still works with YNR, correct?
Oh, Bill is the boss.
Bill's
he's
the boss.
He's now taken over. Yeah, he works for YNR and B&B, and he handles all the European business, and he's very very close to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Bradley, you know, writes Bold and Beautiful, and he does a wonderful job.
And so does, I think it's Brad's wife also writes for B&B?
Colleen's an associate producer.
That's what, and Maria writes for YNR, correct?
That's
she,
right.
Yeah, she
Maria
recently
Bell.
Left that position, but yes, she'd been a writer for, head writer for, I think about 5 years.
Yes,
yeah.
It certainly does sound like that is a business that is certainly all in the family, which I think is great because many families these days, you know, that's just kind of not heard of. Michael, I wanted to ask you a personal question. Although you said it's sort of been 20 years since you've been actually researching and putting this together, was there any particular part in the book that was really, I mean, I know you love the entire book because it's your work, but was a little bit more special for you when you were writing it in terms of having a type of a reflection back on your time with William Bell?
I'm sorry, Victoria, what's the specific question?
The question was, in writing the book, was there any particular part in the book that was really special to you in terms of you reflecting on the time that you spent with William Bell?
Yeah, there were many instances. I mean, I had worked on the show's production staff, and when I was offered a position at a magazine, I thought long and hard about taking it, and with Bill and Lee's support and encouragement, I did. And there was a cake for me when I left, and written on the cake, it was in the cover of a magazine, and there were these, you know, headlines on the cake, as you'd see on a magazine cover, and one of them said, "Will B&B's secrets be safe?" And and I turned and when I read it, and I turned and I looked at Bill, and our eyes kind of locked, and I said, "You bet they will." First of all, I really didn't know any secrets, and secondly, I just wanted him to know, and Lee to know, that I was going to respect and value their support for me in making this move. And I think a lot of people might have said, you know, we prefer you not take this opportunity. And I wanted to honor that. And I felt this was a great way of that's something I always tried to do in my career. As I covered the shows and also providing, you know, interesting things for the readers. So I tried to do a good job of juggling that. But there were great moments. There was a story where Bill, you know, who was always so kind and just gracious with everyone. If anyone called him Mr. Bell, he'd just say, "Call me Bill," and that was very comforting to people. It made them feel comfortable and they could do their job better. And Bill just created a wonderful, wonderful environment in the offices of the Bold and the Beautiful and the Young and the Restless. One day Bill, and this is in the book, but he came down into the Bold and Beautiful office from where his was at the Young and the Restless, and he was chuckling, and we said, what are you laughing at? And he said that he'd been on the phone with one of his writers, and the writer had just lost all kinds of material on their computer screen because it just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And the work hadn't been saved, and they'd been working for a couple of hours. And Bill chuckled and he said, I hugged my IBM Selectric and I said, "You never do that to me." and I thought that was such a great story. And I had never, I always remembered it and I never really, it was never really appropriate or a proper place to put that in an article in a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was writing the book, I thought, well, this is a great place to include it. So I was able to draw on a lot of things that, that I remembered about Bill over the years and asked people about them and put those recollections in the book.
And
yeah.
Michael, my last question to touch on that with you being a journalist, And this is more of a thought, and, you know, maybe you can piggyback off this. I was also thinking, too, within this day, you know, reality television, we want stuff really fast. You know, Americans are, you know, in and out, give me this, give me that. You know, nobody really sits down to kind of watch stuff anymore. But I still find that, for example, if I'm on Facebook, people are still, you know, writing posts about Young and the Restless. They're still writing stuff about The Bold and the Beautiful. So I always find it quite interesting that, you know, if you kind of put that parallel to reality shows versus soap operas, I just think that people are still so much more interested in soap operas in a different way than what they are in reality shows.
Well, I think
hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I think both genres have their audiences, and I think that fans love to love, you know, they love to tune into Y&R and see Jack and Victor go at it, and Kay and Jill, and they love to see, you know, characters. They love doing things, and I think there are also audiences that, you know, enjoy, you know, reality programs. You know, we're in a time where TV is just expanding, and then there's the web, and all kinds of programs are coming there. It's just getting bigger and bigger. I'm not sure what the key is to for any one show to grab a big part of the audience. When Bill wrote As the World Turns, I believe the highest share that they got was 64, meaning out of every 100 TV sets, 64 of them were tuned into As the World Turns, which is an astronomical number. And now we have much lower shares because there are so many more options. I think the goal is to just create the best product you can make and trust that the audience will be drawn to the quality.
Yeah, right.
I agree. And also, too, what I found really interesting in the book is that Bill, and if I may call him Bill, I mean, I never met the guy, but I really enjoyed him. But I liked how he wanted to keep the sets the same. The audience wants to tune in, see the same thing. They want to see the familiarity. It's that sort of camaraderie that your audience has built with the show running over 33 years. I think there was a part in the book, too, where he also said the windows were dusty and don't clean them. That's the way they've been. Don't change anything. And I think that's a key winning part of success. Would you not agree? Let's go to Lee.
Yes, I do. I think that he wrote some wonderful. Well, he just wrote every almost every script. No, he didn't. He did it at the beginning. Then he had writers, but he thought of all the ideas. Were the two of us with. Of them.
And speaking of the book, you know, guys, because I don't want us to keep going on. Speaking of the book, Michael, tell us everybody again the name of the book and where we can find it and get it and read it.
Oh, yeah.
The name of the book is The Young and Restless Life of William J. Bell, and you can find it on either Amazon.com or BN.com for Barnes & Noble, and just type in The Young and Restless Life of William Bell, and it's available in hardcover or as an e-book, I believe.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Absolutely.
No, thank you.
Another one of my favorite stories I wanted to go into just real quickly was actually a statement that John McCook or Eric on the B&B said at a roast for Bill at Chasen's restaurant in 92, where he writes, on Y&R, Bill has employed 38,596 extras, 7,904 actors with under five lines, 9,984 day players, and 324 contract players, and he only remembers one name, Brenda Dixon. Now, I found this story really, really interesting. Michael, let's go to your interpretation of the story.
Well, that roast of Bill's at Chasen's in February of 92 was one of the first events I attended. Big events I attended as a journalist. I'm sure I would have been there as a member of the show's production staff as they were all invited, but I was there as a journalist and was kind of attending these things more with a watchful eye. And there was fortunately a tape of it made, so I was able to refer to that. But you have to understand that John McCook is blessed with this ability to say kind of these somewhat biting things that might sound mean if they came from someone else. But with someone like John McCook and Gene Cooper, they are just, there's just a
conversation.
Yeah, it's conversational. Exactly. That's perfect. And it, there's no malice behind it. And it was a roast where people are kind of, you know, poked fun at. And because you know, Brenda's departure had made a few headlines, I think that even people casually familiar with the situation were going to get a big chuckle out of that.
Mm. Absolutely. Lee, let's go to you for a second. What is your favorite storyline, let's say, of The Young and the Restless? I mean, reading the book, it was almost like watching one of the soaps because, you know, the kids are doing this and that and the other thing. But what is one of your favorite storylines on The Young and the Restless?
Well, I love the story with Cricket Blair.
Mm-hmm.
That's my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
when she was pregnant, and they didn't know who she was pregnant by, but it was who was it?
You know, one of the great things about Bill and Lee giving Laura Lee the job is she was able to take all these storylines.
We didn't give her the job.
Well,
they picked her out.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
she auditioned, and they picked her.
And she's done a marvelous job, and she continues to recur on the show. And even though the character is now called, you know, Christine, and has been for many years, there are many, many diehard fans who will always refer to her as Cricket, because
mm-hmm.
that's who
mm-hmm.
she was called when she was first on, and it's a very
right.
endearing nickname, and fans really, really love that character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a stunning woman, still is, actually.
She still is.
still is, absolutely. I remember I got introduced to Cricket actually during my parents' divorce. For 3 summers, we went to my grandmother's house, and she was a big Y&R and B&B fan. So that's my little history. And it was really nice going back. I went on Hulu and saw some of the back episodes, like from 1984 and 85. And my goodness, how the show has progressed in production quality and everything. That is just a test to the technology, I would think. Is that correct, Lee?
Well, yes, but it's also... Bill was the one that wrote it, and he corrected it too.
Oh no, yes, absolutely!
But Cricket was wonderful. She was a marvelous actress.
Absolutely,
she still is.
Still is.
And she still is. Yes.
What is Cricket doing now?
Well, Cricket is on the show.
She's trying to look into a character named her rival Phyllis on the show. She actually did run her over with a car about 20 years ago.
Phyllis ran Cricket over. Yeah.
She did. She meant business, and for many, many years that kind of stayed under wraps, and now it's being readdressed. So and Chris is fiercely determined, understandably so, to want
mm-hmm.
to make Phyllis pay for that. And Phyllis, somehow, she's got a lot of supporters saying, oh, come on, it was a long time ago, which is making Christine all the more determined to bring her to justice.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, guys, I wanted to, since we were talking about some of the actors and actresses and characters in the movie, Michael, later on in the show, we're actually going to speak with is it Doug who we're going to speak with?
Yeah, Doug
Davidson.
Absolutely.
Doug Paul.
Yeah. He's wonderful. He's just
interesting
great.
Piece of information about Doug that I found out, too, is that when Bill was Bill was getting a little controversial with the show when it comes to sexuality and nudity and stuff, and Doug was one of the original heartthrobs. I mean, I think he was doing his first part of, you know, male partial nudity in a time where it was, you know, very titillating, but it didn't really affect the ratings. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah, Bill. You know, Bill was quoted as saying that it's better. Of course, you're going to have a certain amount of racy scenes and romance and passion, but he felt that nothing a writer could come up with could match the audience's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in the mid-90s, there was the whole NYPD Blue craze where we were seeing partial nudity in primetime, and that they started experimenting a little bit with that in daytime and seeing just how far back they could pull the covers down. And, you know, it didn't really go over. I mean, the audience just, they enjoyed what they'd already been seeing, and they didn't really need to see anything more, because it's the characters and the conflicts and the stories that Bill wrote and understood and knew better than anyone that got people tuning back in, not anything salacious, with all due respect to the gym bodies that most of these actors have.
True that, and gym bodies they do. Michael and Lee, we have a live chat room going on. I want to go ahead and make mention to all the guests up in chat. Everybody is listening very intentively. I have a question coming from Nashville to Lee. I guess this would go to Lee. Where did Bill get his story ideas from?
He got them from everywhere. He thought many of them up, but he got them from my show a little bit, the story of Cricket and her circumstances, and he got them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael, I was reading actually 90 minutes of live television Bill wrote daily, which I find is just unbelievable to come up with that many storylines. How many episodes of Young and the Restless actually are there to date?
Next week the show is going to tape its 10,000th episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victoria and I are celebrating 203 shows. We think we're very, very proud.
We've got a long way to go. We're only at 203. God bless us. My goodness.
Well, Bill had writers also. Yeah. You know, he had a number of writers that worked with him. Kay Alden was one of the greatest.
Kay's wonderful, and she works at Bold and Beautiful now for Brad, and Jack Smith is another great one who also works at the Bold and the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you know what I wanted to ask you, and I'm asking this question and not having have read the book or to have the book in front of me right now.
Sure.
Was it difficult when you had to try to find pictures to put inside the book, and how did you select the pictures to use?
That's a great question. Lee and Bill have many scrapbooks, so a lot of the personal photos that are in the book came directly from their personal photo collection, and then others were from CBS, and we had about Lee and Laurelee and I spent a few afternoons going through several scrapbooks, and we probably could have done a book of pictures alone. We wanted each picture to tell a story because we had about 28, and then there were some additional ones that are on the back of the book. But we wanted there are a lot of cast photos in there. There's a Days of Our Lives cast photo when Bill made a rare trip from Chicago out to Los Angeles, where Days is and was shot, that he appeared in with original cast members of that show, and then an early cast photo of Y&R, an early cast photo of Bold and Beautiful. And in 1993, there was a 20th anniversary party at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills, and several cast members from the past were invited for that, and so that photo, which has could be up to 60, 70 people in it, is in there, so that it just shows the scope.
And the reason I mentioned pictures, because I know, and you probably know as well as a journalist, especially fans, they love pictures. I mean, they love to look at pictures and to kind of talk about them and read the behind-the-scenes stories about pictures. So I know with you writing that book, you know, pictures were really important to you as well.
They were tremendously important, and you know, there was one photo that I was on the fence about. I wasn't on the fence about it, but I thought if we go down this path, we might want to. It could run into a lot more photos that we want in there. I didn't put many storyline photos in there, but there was one storyline photo of Doug Davidson and an actress named Nina Arvidsson, and that was from the George Rollins murder mystery, which I do detail in the book, and I wanted to include a photo of that, but at the same time I'd be including a storyline-specific photo. In the case of Bill, if I were going to do that, there would be hundreds of photos that I would want to include. But I have to say I did include it, and when I handed the book to a writer at Entertainment Weekly, she flipped through the book, and when she got to the photos, one of the first ones she saw was the photo of Paul and Cassandra, and she just said, "Oh, it's Paul and Cassandra." So that made me feel great that people remembered that story fondly, and I think it was a good photo to choose, as the rest were.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Speaking about Doug Davidson, I actually see him calling in. So we're going to go ahead and go to another song, another recurring theme of The Young and the Restless, The Bold and the Beautiful, a new song by Colby Cole called Wicked Game. And when we come back, Doug Davidson, the heartthrob himself, Paul Williams,
right,
is going to be joining us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The world moves on fire and no one can save me but you. It's strange what desire will make foolish people do. And I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you. And I
Wicked Game, something that
beautiful.
Every soap has, absolutely. Doug Davidson, I welcome you to At Home with Victoria. You heartthrob, you. How are you?
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Absolutely.
We're happy to have you.
Thank you very much.
Lee's on the line.
I couldn't be more pleased to talk about a such an influential man that played such an important part in my life.
When did you first meet William?
That would have been sometime in 1978, 79.
Yeah.
He was living in Chicago then, and that show was a half hour. And we shot it live on tape, and that's when Paul started with No Last Name. And it was David Hasselhoff was Snapper, and Wings Hauser was his brother. And it was about 5 years after the show started, if I do my numbers correctly.
Yeah, I think when you originally started, you had no last name, you had no house, and you had no. I think you did have an office actually when you first started.
I had nothing. I was.
You had nothing.
Sexual partner of the first Nikki Reed, which was played by Erica Hope.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question, Doug. I've always wanted to ask a very pretty person this, and I've had the pleasure of meeting a few of them. But what was it like dealing with, you were the it thing. I mean, you still are, but back then, man, you couldn't walk outside. What was that like to deal with?
Well, I got to say that, that was, again, I'd have to take my hat off to Bill because those – He made that happen, and he used Paul as the bridge between the half hour and the hour. Mm-hmm. He told me that it was always important to build from the inside out, and so I was the one character that was going to span from the half hour into the hour. They had contractual problems with all the stars of that time because they'd have to double their fee. So that became economically unfeasible. So he built, slowly transformed the half hour show into an hour show, brought in the Abbotts as well as the Williams, and Victor was not, the Newmans were not a family yet. It was just Victor and Julia. And so what? To answer your question specifically, it was because he was a star maker. He gave my character the qualities that he knew his public would appreciate. So really, and I had great story after great story. They just one dovetailed into the next, and they were the first story I had because I was dragging Nikki down the bad path, and in 1979 he recast the role of April, who had a illegitimate kid, and he made me the father of it. I came from a strict Roman Catholic family. My father was a cop, and I was the black sheep of the Williams family. And so we had this whole redemption storyline, and just great, great, great stuff to play.
And
oh,
Doug,
really fun.
Doug, let me throw something in here. This is Victoria again. Thank you so much for being here. Something I thought about when you said that it was William who actually made you that superstar. I've had
right.
the opportunity to interview many, many people like yourself who are very successful in Hollywood, and all of them say the same thing. I mean, they always say, Victoria, basically what of course you guys see on television, of course, is sort of the end product where we get to act out and we've read the lines and we do this and we do that. But they say, it really is the writers and it really is the people behind the scenes that make us the stars who we are. So I've heard that just over and over
yeah.
again from folks like you.
He really creates all the I'm sure there's some of us that think it's all our fault, but from a very subjective viewpoint, I got to tell you that if it's not on the table, you can't play it. And even you can be Florence Olivier, if you will, and if you're not given the meat to deal with, there's nothing you can do about it. And he knew the elements that would make people like Paul or Snapper or any other of his leads. It was something that changed after he left. Because I don't know if America's taste changed. I don't think so. I think that styles change, but really the elements that he was married to really came from storytelling from the ages.
Yeah. No, I certainly
and
agree.
It's very intricate. It's not easy to weave
right, exactly.
All this
yeah.
together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
And then to have a personality. To be able to have the confidence to, keep the wolves at bay, and to me that's really the problem with the entertainment industry today. Everybody thinks they know what they're doing, and I was reading an article about the third Harry Potter movie, and the director was complaining that there are 12 different producers. And from Warner Brothers and from this and from that, and they all have a vision on how to make Harry Potter 3, the Prisoner from Azkaban. And it made his job as a director so very difficult because he had to listen to some of them and argue, and Bill was able to create an environment through success that, they weren't going to pick up the phone and say, what the hell are you doing? Because he's going, I know exactly what the hell I'm doing, and if you don't want my show, I'll take it somewhere else. And it was those big cojones that those people in old Hollywood, and they didn't give them out any easier than they do today. He had that brilliant balance of creative personality and the compassionate dictator.
Yeah, he sounds like he was a nurturer too. In talking to Michael and his wife Lee, it sounds like if you work with Bill, Bill was also going to nurture you. He was going to bring you along, and that you were also going to learn something from him as well.
Oh, absolutely. And he had more of a closer relationship with his writing staff, but. As I got older, and I didn't realize this in the first decade or so, that he was compassionate. Things I said or did, I could have been easily fired for, and he understood that it was out of emotion or misunderstanding or. And through the years, you could battle it out, and it would end in hugs and kisses. So, and to me, that was an example of his security, and that he knew he was the father of our show, and he raised us all like children.
Yeah. No, and he loved and created so many careers. We've had on Martha Byrne on the show. We've had on Dini Francis, fantastic people. And a person that I'm particularly fond of is calling in right now, Miss Denise Alexander. Thank you so much for joining us on Our Home of Victoria. Denise has such wonderful things to say about both, Bill especially and Lee. So, Denise, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting
Denise.
Me.
Hi, Denise.
It's Doug.
How are you
doing? I'm doing well. How are you?
Bill had marvelous things to say about her, too.
Oh, that's sweet.
Denise,
well,
tell us about your Bell that you knew.
I've enjoyed listening to Doug because I realize that's the one thing I realized was how different my Bell was from Doug's, just the set of circumstances. I worked with him on Days of Our Lives, not on one of his shows. He was the fellow off in Chicago writing. But I've been doing this kind of, you know, 156 years, and you do become aware, wow, I'm getting wonderful things to play. This is exciting. I loved being on Days of Our Lives. It was like going to camp every day. I loved the people. I loved the scripts. I loved the storyline. I never took a vacation in 8 years. I never asked for a vacation. I had long weekends. That was all I needed. I was so happy there. And this sweet man, I think of him as such a sweet man. I don't think I ever said to him what I'm about to say to you, because it took me maturing as a person to understand mm-hmm. how special he had been.
I have to second mm-hmm. that, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
You guys are about to make me cry. Like, normally nobody comes on my show and makes the host cry. That's not fair. I'm sitting in the back of an alley on my cell phone during this interview looking at somebody who's staring at me out the window, and I'm about to be in tears.
That's a very, very colorful picture you paint there.
Uh-huh.
Well, I wish I had sent this to Bill. I will say it for Mrs. Bell to hear. I did, my Lord, how could you not admire them? I mean, she was an extraordinary talent and a beautiful woman and raised a gorgeous family, and they all grew up liking each other and wanting to be together and having a wonderful life. And that's pretty much the ultimate, while still being a creative artist and building an enormously successful career. Bill Bell, to me, was at first a man that I saw very infrequently. He was a good-looking fellow. He dressed beautifully. He had the best smile you ever saw on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lovely person. He seemed to be a lovely person. I was so grateful to go to work and have these extraordinary stories that I had. And it went on and on and on, and it got richer, and it demanded more of me. And it was a wonderful experience. I remember there was one time when I actually sat down with him, as I remember, and it was 200 years ago, so you'll forgive me. As I remember, he said, let's have lunch. And he was talking to me about having to actually write for other people on the show. He said, I've spent so much time. I don't want to quote him. I'm not going to say he said. What he was explaining to me was that he had very much enjoyed and sort of had a great time writing for Susan Hunter Martin, which was my character's name. But he had to write for other people, and it was a conversation meant to show me that I was valued, and it didn't mean that he didn't like me or my work or wanted to lose the connection. It was such a lovely gesture. I've never known anybody to do that in my life. I think I've said this before. I think I said it to Michael for his book. I felt cherished. I felt appreciated. I felt loved. I felt this amazing connection, which, again, I was a little too immature to understand, of a team, which was the writer and the actor. Each regarding the other with affection and respect and admiration, but it was teamwork. It was like any kind of teamwork where, whether you're across the country or not, your hand is in the other guy's hand as you go forward. And I loved that. The thing, I left Days of Our Lives, it was a very strange thing, but it was right at the time when they were beginning, they weren't beginning, they were putting together and drawing very close to the actual debut on the air of Young and the Restless. And I never worked for Bill again, but what that man gave me, I'm going to make me cry.
I know, it sounds like, you know, life lessons forever.
Isn't this silly? It's because I
know
to say it to him.
No.
I owe
this
him
is all
such
about
a debt of gratitude. And
yeah.
I held him in my heart with love. It was wonderful to be one of his actors. That was a great show. I don't know about YNR and I don't know about Bold and Beautiful, but I know my darling Flannel, Susan Flannery, is still there. So it's got to be as good an experience as the original show was. It was a wonderful show. No problems. No, not for me, not that I ever saw. It was a joyous experience. And it was, the great team also was Betty Corday and Bill Bell at that time. I think they had such respect for each other.
And Denise, I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to bring to bring Doug back in. But Doug, I'm sure every single thing that Denise is saying, you're probably sitting there thinking and shaking your head, saying, yeah, all.
Oh,
of that
I,
exactly
absolutely, and I don't, you know, to this, you know, I told him, I too, like Denise, was late in coming to understand the big picture. But before he passed, and toward the end of his reign, I did have the opportunity to tell these things to him, and not unlike Lee, he would throw it right back at you, saying, "Oh, it's a two-way street, and I couldn't have done it without you." And
yeah.
So, I mean, it was really, really. I didn't understand how truly blessed I was, and how great the stories were until I was old enough to realize that they don't grow on trees.
Mm-hmm.
They come out of someone's imagination. And, you know, I'd see him get there before anybody arrived, and he had things written on napkins. And
I saw the napkins, a bunch, yes.
I had envisioned him at Christmas morning kind of half-watching the kids open their presents as he was thinking about weaving stories together. I mean, he never,
right.
ever left that creative process.
I wish you guys had those napkins now, and you could probably put them on eBay.
Well, there's some interesting stories
eBay,
in the
right?
book about how he designs a show, and you know, so many people think that storytelling and soap operas are passé. Well, I think if you went back to the basics, you'd understand that storytelling, and Mad Men and all these hit series are nothing but
an ongoing dramatic story with ongoing characters. That's the basis of soap opera, isn't it, Doug?
And it's I don't think it's ever going to go out of fashion or style. It may change on how they do it, but I think that it's the responsibility of the people who produce them now and the actors involved in them to give it that life that he so easily or seemingly easily pumped into it.
Oh, that is.
I'm sitting here thinking that you and I get the opportunity to interview so many people, and that was Denise and Doug, one reason why I started At Home with Victoria. I've been a journalist myself for over 15 years as a television news anchor, and I would always get so frustrated that, you know, we do all these great interviews, and I could only get about 30 or 40 seconds of the interview, and that was it. So with this format, like, you guys really get to sit here. I really get the opportunity to learn about William, to learn about who he is, and, you know, I really feel like, although I don't know him, I can listen to Doug, Denise, and Michael and his wife and have the opportunity to know him. And I just think that's awesome.
It's sort of
a misnomer At Home with Victoria. Aren't we in the alley with Victoria?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Actually, Kristen is driving. We're leaving the alley because the mosquitoes were biting me too much. So we're actually headed out of the alley now. So I'm still good, though.
Denise, do you want to add something?
Victoria? I'm coming to this late, and I know you've talked about the book a lot, but for me, I learned more reading that book, which is the most marvelous read. I learned more about this man than I had ever known, about the man, about the family, about the creative process, about the field that I worked in for so long. It's one of the best things I've ever read about soap operas and about these interesting people, the Bells, the Bell family. It's just... I'd like to just add my little thank you, Mrs. Bell. Thank you, Michael. It's a great read.
Yeah, I have to second that, too. I learned so much about the side that as actors we rarely saw, especially since he was in Chicago for a good portion of the time. And even here he was sequestered in his office writing and story meetings and an amazing window to look into.
Michael Kay?
Absolutely. You know, Denise, thanks for making me cry, you rotten woman. But you know, that's the nature
that's
of it.
Denise. We're not having her back anymore.
She's a
downer.
Hey, that's how come she's been a star for 45 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to go to Lee, actually. Lee, any kind words for both Doug and Denise?
Well, I think they're both fantastic. And,
charming.
And I love them both. My children are carrying on in a great fashion. Bradley with Bold and Beautiful, Bill with Young and Restless and the rest of it, and Lorelei is doing a superb job. She was probably the greatest surprise of us all. She's wonderful.
Oh, she's outrageously wonderful.
Yes, isn't she, Doug?
Yeah, I can't say enough about her either. She is Anna Chipoff, the both blocks too.
Yeah.
She's got Bill's soap opera Moxie and
right.
Lee's compassion and kindness. She's just I honestly can't say enough about her.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I just want to go ahead and make mention really quick. If you're in Ventura, California on August 18th from 2 to 4 p.m., there's a book signing of The Young and the Restless Life of William J. Bell. It's Ventura Gateway at 4820 Telephone Road in Ventura, California. Call ahead at 805-339-0990. Lee, you'll be there. Michael will be there. And so will Doug be there. As well
sure.
as Ron Moss, Thunen Flannery, and Tracy Bergman. So it's a wristband event. So you got to call ahead for your wristband. But I wish I was there. I would love to get this signed. You should see it. It's all highlighted with paper sticking out of it of notes. But I can't thank you all enough. We're running a little bit out of time, but I want to thank Denise Alexander. Congratulations on Pretty Season 4. You were great in Pretty Season 3.
Thank you.
Steve Silverman, great show, honey. And I want to thank you personally. Everybody doesn't know this, but Denise was lovely enough to go ahead and make a nice little mention in my partner and my 13th anniversary video. So I want to thank you personally from you to me, even though we've never met, honey.
I know.
I love you a million, seriously. And I just enjoy you so much. And I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. I really do.
Thank you.
Making us cry. Thanks, Denise, for making us cry, too.
For you.
A love fest.
It's a love fest for sure. Doug Davidson, my friend, and I like to call you friend, but thank you so much for chiming in tonight. I really do appreciate it.
We love Doug. Thanks, Doug.
My pleasure. Thank you. I really appreciate
it. Hey, I want you guys to know I'm out of the alley. The mosquitoes aren't biting me. I survived the entire show.
Oh, good.
And with that said, listen, I'm going to leave you guys first because I have so many bites on me. I've got to get something on my arm. So I love you guys. I'm leaving my own show and leaving it with Michael. God bless and Lee and all you guys. Thank you so much. I'm out of here. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Drive carefully. Michael Maloney, I want to thank you for a most well-written book, very, very detailed and delicious to read. I was really happy that it was very fitting in Lee and Bill's way of absolute class.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big drunken story that Phillips thing in every lunch in this town again. It was an absolute wonderful tribute to a fantastic man who created some of the best moments on American television for the public. And really, you have really created such a wonderful Thanksgiving of brilliance for the American audiences. And I just really personally, from me to you, Lee, would like to thank you and Bill for doing that. It has been brilliant to read and so wonderful to be a part of.
Good. I'm glad.
I'm glad you loved it, and thank you for your kind words. And Lee, thank you for asking me to write the book. And
happy
and
I did.
And Doug and Denise, thank you for two of the best interviews for the book, and also for your kind words tonight. The book would not have been complete without both of your inputs.
Thank
you. Well deserved, Michael. It's a great book because you made the effort and I mean, really, if all this could go by the wayside if you don't document it like you did, and it's great to look back at his career and we can all take our hats off and salute him at this point, and we really wouldn't be able to do that publicly without you.
It was my honor, and I mean that sincerely.
Michael, elegant
See?
Book
More
about
tears.
An elegant man.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And his lovely, lovely wife. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll treasure those words forever from both of you.
All right, you guys. I want to go ahead and extend this invitation. At Homeless Victoria is your home, too. So Denise, Doug, Michael, Lee, whatever I can help with, whatever we can do for you, please understand your home is here, too. I think of it as Christmas at the Bells with the fancy house with Cary Grant and Howard Hughes and all that good stuff. I read about some good Christmas parties, too. I would have loved to be invited to those. But I sincerely want to thank all of you very, very much for joining
me tonight
at the show.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Great pleasure.
Huge love. You guys take care.
Thank
you, I love
Michael.
You, too. Have a great evening.
You got it. If you're just tuning in or listening to the whole hour, we were listening to Lee Philip Bell and Michael Maloney, writer of The Young and the Restless Life of William J. Bell. Pick it up on Amazon.com/ the title, The Young and the Restless Life of William J. Bell. I want to give huge thanks to Denise Alexander and Doug Davidson. Fantastic people, and I look so forward to chatting with them again. Victoria is on her mosquito-bitten ass way to D.C., as we've all heard, and I want to go ahead and end with a little bit more music, very, very reminiscent of the soap opera industry. This is Shelley Wren with Rescue Me. I want to thank you all for listening tonight. I want to thank everybody up in chat, all the new guests. Gina is joining us from California, as well as Marby from Nashville, producing a great chat room tonight. But we're going to go ahead and sign off with a little bit of Rescue Me from Shelley Wren. Again, brand new. Take care and God bless everybody. Thanks for joining it at Home with Victoria. Take care.
And that love is gone. been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.